You're listening to Marketplace. I'm Molly Wood, in for Kai Rizdahl. Okay, yeah, there was a new Star Wars movie in 2016, and that is getting all the end-of-year headlines. But a very different alien movie was a hit last year, too. The film Arrival stars Amy Adams as a linguistics professor, Louise Banks. She is tasked with figuring out how to talk with extraterrestrials after they arrive on Earth.
Louise. I am Louise.
What is that? Is that a new symbol? I can't tell. Dr. Banks? Hey, what are you doing?
She's taking off her helmet. Okay, now this was a smart sci-fi mystery, and it plays with some heady science concepts, but it also fits in a touching story of a mother and her daughter and humanity's response to the aliens and each other. It started out as a novella, and Eric Heiserer adapted the story for the screen. Eric, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm wonderful, and I have to say, I read that when you first read the novella on which this movie is based, that you said you felt gutted and uplifted at the same time, and I wanted you to know that is exactly how I felt coming out of this movie.
Good. Then I preserved that. That's good. That
yes,
was like mission
exactly.
One for me.
What was it about you that said, this has got to be a movie?
Honestly, it was the way it made me feel. I thought, if I can capture this feeling and make a cinematic version of the story, then I can point more people toward the author, Ted Chiang, who I've been obsessed with for a long while. Mm-hmm. And I can tell a story that I haven't seen very often in film.
You can tell there are many difficult science concepts in this movie. The primary one is this idea of linguistic relativity.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, everyone. But can you give us a quick explainer? Are you good enough to like synthesize it and tell us what that means?
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you that it is a somewhat controversial idea in the linguistics community. And Ted Chiang takes it into a sort of a science fiction territory where he goes. But it's about the fact that when you immerse yourself in a foreign language, you really kind of rewrite your brain. And you can dream or even sort of it can change your view of the world. And I had a personal experience with this when I was a child growing up. My father was a classics professor at OU for like 30 years, and he was constantly teaching himself new languages. In fact, he would make his own little flashcards, and to learn a new language, he would brush up on another one. So he'd have like Aramaic on one side of the card and German for the translation on the other.
Wow.
Yeah, and he was also just the absolute stereotypical absent-minded professor in that, you know, I never know what era he was in when I would go up to him. Like, like, are you in ancient Greece right now, Dad? Because I need you right here for dinner.
I'm actually seeing how this all drew you to this novella, by the way. This is we're getting into therapy territory here.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Especially because, like, he had this replica of the Rosetta Stone in his home office. And the idea of, like, three different languages and how they're translated always fascinated me. But I remember asking him a question at one point in time, and I interrupted a language lesson he was teaching himself. And he looked at me and blinked, and it took him a good 10 seconds to switch back to English. And that made me wonder, how is he thinking? What language is he natively thinking in now? And I didn't realize until I ran into this story years and years later that it's a real thing. So I latched onto it.
This is a film I understand was very difficult to get made. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that journey and why you got so many no's at first.
Well, I think I got a lot of no's at first because it's an outlier. You know, there is an increasing need for studios to produce only franchise material. You know, I can tell you if someone came up to any studio now with just a screenplay or a story idea for Interstellar or Gravity or The Martian, it wouldn't go anywhere. In order to make these kind of films, you need prestige directors and stars that can signal to the studio, this isn't a lost leader. This will actually go somewhere, even if it's not a franchise piece. And, you know, particularly if it doesn't have a male lead, they get worried.
And yet Amy Adams, and I felt watching it, Amy Adams has said that this film is very much about a mother telling the story of her daughter. Without that, do you think the movie would have anywhere near as much weight?
No, absolutely not. I mean, that's really what drew me to it. I mean, it's the story, in my opinion, and certainly hopefully the film adaptation, is a love letter to mothers. It's like a giant thank you note.
And yet, perfectly crafted to just stab us in the heart. Just right in the heart.
Yeah.
I read that you had identified Amy Adams from the get-go.
Yes. As,
what is it about her?
I think it's that I can see what she's thinking when she's acting. Like, I can tell that something's going on in her brain just through her eyes. And I find that as an unusual trait in actors.
So in addition to being a movie about having to learn to communicate with aliens, it is clearly also a movie about humans having to figure out how to communicate with each other. Did you find that you learned anything about that part of it, or what did you learn about the way people interact?
I learned that there is an often invisible bias that's always present when it comes to communication. And more and more people seem to try and customize the channels for communication in a way that it sort of reinforces that bias. We are tied into each other and plugged in ways we've never been before as the human race, and we are really terrible at communicating. So we got to get better at that.
Eric Heiserer is the screenwriter for the movie Arrival. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.